Sam Brock and Craig Lawson here from out at Ironwood Camp, and we're working through a series of how we would counsel and work with some of our campers that we would have. This is a fun topic today here, dealing with the topic of devotions, which really is a topic that deals with our relationship with God. Craig, tell us just for a moment the difference between just devotions and a relationship with God. What's the difference here?
I think a relationship with God has intimacy, has real like conviction. You strive to get to know that person, and so that relationship with God is something that you crave, you need, you desire. And then if I were to just say, oh, you need to do your devotions, we almost look at it as a task. It's almost like I've explained it working at like at a homeless shelter. Somebody who cares for the needs of the homeless they're asking them questions, caring about what they're doing. Hey, here's this. And somebody that just does the tasks is, hey, here's a ladle of mashed potatoes. I hope you get less hungry.
Yeah.
Type of a thing. So that's how I kind of look at it. It's kind of like the spirit in which we do things. So a relationship with God is something that you'll get excited about, you'll have emotion about, you'll have really a passion to do. And if you just look at devotions as like, it's the next thing on my list this morning or tonight or this afternoon, it'll quickly be off your radar because it's not something that excites you the way that it should.
Yeah, and when it's a task, you're trying to figure out how efficient can I make this, you know? Can I get this done in 15 minutes? Could I get it done in 12 minutes?
How many verses do I need to read?
Right, what's necessary? And I like to compare with this relationship concept, I like to compare it to a relationship, say, that I have with my wife, where I want that relationship to grow. So I never go on a date thinking to myself, wonder how short this could go, you know? how much time do I need to make a for real date? And so I wouldn't have a relationship very long if that's what I did. The other thing that I like about that relationship picture is that when the relationship starts, you're not real good at it. You know, like it's a new relationship. And I think sometimes when it comes to our Bible reading, our prayer, our devotions, this time that we're spending with God, at first it's a little awkward. We don't know some of the words that are in the Bible, and we don't get how it all works, but that's the beauty of a relationship that grows over time. If I can encourage a young person to just keep on working at growing that relationship, it becomes better and better, sweeter and sweeter. It becomes a relationship that grows, just like the relationship with my wife continues to grow. It's very different than it was that first summer I met her, and I was fairly awkward. But she married me, so I'm happy about that. Mm. So let's start. If you have a all-purpose tool, and again, I recommend this to you. This really will cover a lot of these notes. About midway through that book, maybe a third of the way through that book, there's a chart of all the decisions that a young person might make. And then it's kind of divided up into different areas, like the problem, the biblical foundation, how we give hope, and then how we would develop a plan. It's kind of designed in such a way that you can keep on adding more information into your own book. You're kind of customizing your book. And so, first of all, let's talk about, Craig, let's talk about the verses that we like to use in order to deal with this relationship. I'll start here with Psalm chapter 1. I like Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I like this verse 1. I'll talk to a young person about, you know, where your relationships are, who you're hanging out with, who's influencing you, who's impacting your life. So verse 1 says, there's a certain group of friends that I should not be developing this relationship with. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So now God's word becomes something that I'm thinking about, something that I want to listen to. What I like most about this passage is the object lesson that it gives me. And it might be because I'm out in the desert a bit. But he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so in this verse, it's using a tree as an illustration, and it's using the rivers of water like that. It's using me as a tree. It's using the rivers of water as the word of God that I need in order to bring forth my fruit, in order to not wither up. When I was a camp counselor, I used to start the weekend off by going over to a tree. Now I don't want every one of you to go down and cut down trees at Ironwood, but I would cut down a little branch, you know, that had some big leaves on it and all that sort of stuff. And I would just start the week by putting it in the cabin. And by the end of the week, when we were ready to talk about this passage, that thing would all be shriveled up, kind of withered. You know, it was obviously not alive anymore. And I like that picture when we start talking about what God's word does for us. It's like water to a tree. It is my delight. It's what I need. It's what I've got to have in my life. Psalm 19 is another really good passage that I love. Verses 7 through 14 or so are just really good about the importance and what God's word does and how it benefits. Craig, what's a passage that you really like?
A majority of the times when I counsel devotions, I am talking with someone that knows the benefits or the need and really the command from Scripture that they need to. And what they've come back to is, but how? And they haven't been consistent. And so my go-to verse when I'm dealing with that sort of a situation is I go to Ezra 7:10, and it says, "For Ezra prepared in his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." And I in essence look at them and say, you probably haven't been successful because you haven't prepared well. And we spend a good chunk of time on just what does preparation mean. So we define what preparation is, what it does for us, and then we start talking about, okay, now how do I prepare to do just the first part? How do I prepare to seek God's law? Mm-hmm. And so we then look and what does seeking mean, or what does searching mean? And we jump into those things and we take a good hard look at, okay, I, in my devotions, I need to be prepared. And some of the questions that you see in the develop the plan, it's the what, the when, the who am I being held accountable for? Where am I going to do my devotions? All of those things are important mm-hmm. structure points that really give you a foundation of a commitment to having that relationship.
So let's talk about that here in a moment. But the whole when I'm giving hope to a person, so to understand the problem, I am going to, I mean, for me in the cabin, it's just a basic question in a devotion, like at the end of the day, of how many people like read God's word or pray to him on a daily basis. And I just ask the question real simply, you know, do you have a relationship with God? Describe that relationship with him. If a person is saved and doesn't have a relationship with God, it's something that they need to develop and they need to work at. Probably as junior campers, this is, if you can give them some really good plans, they'll come to a realization, boy, this is something I need. I need this relationship with God. And so we understand the problem. We give hope. The Bible verses we just mentioned are the things that show, yep, this will help us. And then we present the decision. It's really up to a young person to decide, do I want this relationship? Is this something that I'm going to spend time in? It's not something that I can buy from a store. It's not something I can just have because I said I wanted it. I've actually got to spend the time and the effort to have this relationship happen. So really, for me, this relationship with God is all about developing the plan. A big part of this this decision is helping a young person develop a good plan. And because this isn't a one-and-done decision, this is the kind of decision that probably many of us make several times in our life where we're like, boy, my relationship with God isn't what it should be, and I want to take it to the next level. We have a way that we can say, okay, what is my plan to take this relationship to that next level? So the basics of that plan, Craig, you mentioned them before, but what are the basics that every plan needs to have in it?
I think where is an important thing that gets overlooked often. Many times where with my head on my pillow and my phone above my face is not necessarily a good where. And so I'm going to fall asleep. So it's setting somebody up.
Or when my brother is, playing video games.
Yeah.
So that's not the best where. So they're looking for a quiet spot and a place that where they can kind of be without distraction, for a solid 10 or 15 minutes. Okay. So the where is important. What else?
And the when is the second one, but it definitely fits into the where as well. So if my where is the living room, I need to make sure I schedule that when it's quiet or when I'm not going to get distracted. My win is pretty important. So some people, they are at their best at 10 o'clock at night. Probably not any junior campers, but some people, they are more attentive at night, and they are horrible groggy monsters in the morning. And so they're not actually set up well physically to read and think on and meditate. And be able to remember the things that they've read throughout the day.
Right.
And so it's best for them to do it at evening, and it actually gives them something to wake up to and still thinking on.
So the win to me is also one that you could, I like to tell people to connect it to something you're already doing every day. You know what I mean? So it may be right before a shower, right after a shower, maybe right before bed, right when you get up, maybe before or after breakfast, something like that. So if you can connect that to a habit that you already have, that's a great win. So we've got where and when. What else?
What? So what are you going to read? What does the actual plan look like of your relationship with God? So this includes in really the basics. It includes scripture reading, and it includes prayer. The Bible says that we need to be asking for wisdom as we read God's word. And so that is something that we should then pray to gain wisdom so that we can understand best. And then we should be reading God's word, allowing him to focus something in our life through his word that we need to change, or we're gathering information about him. So really it's the what. There are a number of different Bible study helps or plans or processes that can help a young person understand, okay, what works best for me? So some people, what works best for them is a chapter a day. Some people, it's a paragraph a day. Some people, it's, I'm going to read until I get something. There's no right way or right process, I should say, to do your devotions, but there is something that works best for a person. So my guess is Mr. Sam and I have a very different way in how we do our devotions. Mine is structured with an acrostic system, and I go through and I am trying to dissect everything I can out of a passage. And I don't know what Mr. Sam's way is, but my guess is we're different, but we still are developing a relationship with our Savior.
And over the years, you find yourself doing that what in different ways. And so you've got to kind of pay attention to the person you're talking with here. If this is the first time that a person's worked through a relationship with God, it needs to be attainable, something that's easy enough for them to do, So a few verses in Proverbs or a few verses in James or something like that are really good. And then as you grow in your relationship, what you will choose to do will grow as well. For sure, though, it involves some time in hearing what God says to me. So the where, the when, the what, anything else here on the basics?
I think it's very important to keep the where, when, and what is to be accountable to somebody. So whether it's a parent, a sibling, a best friend, a youth pastor, whoever it might be, there is some sort of structure that they know questions to ask or when to ask it. So I have a number of people that I am in contact with throughout the week, that it's every Wednesday I text this person, and every Sunday I check in with this person, or every other week there is a conversation about, hey, what is God teaching you in your devotions? And so there has to be that accountability. Peer pressure is a good thing. I'm a firm believer that it can be a good thing. And so we want somebody to understand if I haven't done my devotions in 2 weeks, I'm going to get called out on it. And it can't go to 2 months or 2 years that I haven't done my devotions. I have a friend that cares for my spiritual well-being that is going to say, hey, you made this decision. Are you going to keep it? This is the most important decision right now that you need to keep holding on to.
I find with accountability, you want to have somebody keep you accountable that is doing their devotions. They have a relationship with God, so you're looking for that kind of person. And then the other thing on accountability, I find one of the easiest ways to hold myself accountable is not to wait for them to ask me, but to have a planned way that I share what I've learned. And that's the accountability, is that, you know, I'm going to share what I've learned with at least two people over the weekend. And that's a really helpful way to have accountability. Because this is a relationship with God, and say devotions or our quiet time, we have a lot of different terms for it that we could use. It's not just reading the Bible, though, correct? I mean, there's more to it.
Absolutely.
What are some more thoughts?
I think prayer, I've mentioned prayer, is our way of communicating to God. The Word of God is His way to communicate back to us. And prayer is especially important in any area of life. It allows us to think through things. Many times I'm asking God for wisdom in prayer, and as I ask Him in that prayer, I start to get led to some direction of, oh, I never thought, like, how did that thought come in my mind? So prayer is a wonderful way to start your devotions as well as end your devotions. And then there's a couple other things that might be, again, awkward, like a starting of a relationship. But the first thing that might be awkward is meditation, learning how to meditate on Scripture. A lot of times that word meditation has this bad connotation where I need to start going, and I need to think about nothing. Like, meditation is my mind being completely empty. And I just don't think that's the best definition of what meditation is.
No, I mean it really is. Like in the passage that I had in Psalm 1, we are actually meditating on something. We are actually thinking about a truth and kind of rolling it around in our mind, thinking about it over and over. Meditation is one of those things that I share with people all the time. It's can I remember what I read or what I studied, you know, at lunch, at dinner? Can I, because if I can't, I'm not even thinking about it. It's short-term memory and not a meditation where I'm really paying attention to what it says.
Yeah, for me, in our technological age, I think of it as I sent an important text to somebody where I need an answer. And I'm like desperate for an answer. So I look at my phone to see if I got, did I miss the vibration in my pocket? Was I away from my phone where I didn't get the answer? I need it pretty soon. And many of us have had that experience in our life where we're waiting for an answer. Mom, can I eat the cookies? Like, are they up for grabs now? And we're like, is she going to say something? Is she going to say something? And we continually check our phone or the score of a game, whatever it might be. We pull up our phone a lot. I would reference what meditation is to how we treat the interaction of our phone. I pull my phone out when I have nothing to do. I should be meditating on Scripture throughout. Like, oh, hey, this is what I learned today. So, with phones have been one good example of what meditation can be. Just continuing to almost refresh in yourself in what you learned. It's a note card. It's a reminder. That continues your brain to be and your mind to be focused on what you read that morning or previously that night.
So if a young person is coming back and or talking with you and they don't have a relationship with God, that's one of the things that they need to start doing right away. It's going to be impossible to start being obedient to God. Not impossible, but it's going to become very difficult to do all the things that God wants us to do if we don't have that relationship with Him. So we can add things like Scripture memory. I really enjoy a journal where I write a few things down. I've seen a number of devotional tools that are out there that help with this. So really, as you're working with a camper, developing a plan with them. As my kids were in camp, I could tell when a counselor really took the time not to just pray with them and say, yep, I need to have a relationship with God, but they took the time to actually go through what it would look like on Saturday and on Sunday and then during school days and what a devotion plan would be. And I'm so thankful to counselors that my kids had that really had an impact on their life, where they came home and of their own will and their own way, they just said, you know, I need to be in God's Word. It's a habit that we want them to start when they're young and take with them for the rest of their life. That's the decision of a relationship with God, which we see in the area of devotions.